Let's just see what Matthew says immediately before our reading. So chapter 27, verse 62, the bottom left-hand corner of that page, page 1000. Jesus' body has been placed into the tomb at the evening of that first Good Friday. And then verse 62, the next day, the one after preparation day, chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'" Let's pause there. What's the name? How do they refer to Jesus, these chief priests and Pharisees? What word have they used to describe Jesus? Hands up, anybody. What word have they used? Yes, Miles. Deceiver, that's right. Here you are. You get an Easter egg for that. Just to encourage motivation a bit. That's not very nice, is it? These people hated Jesus. They call him that deceiver, that liar. But they have remembered the lie, as they see it, that he told. The lie that he would be rising again. Next verse, 64, because of that lie, so give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. It doesn't need to be any longer than that, because after that his lie will have failed. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception would be worse than the first. If this rumor goes round that Jesus is risen, that will be worse, they think. That will be more dangerous than anything Jesus said while he was alive. And then verse 65, "Take a guard," Pilate answers. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So don't skimp on the job. Make the tomb as secure as you know. And maybe Pilate too, he sensed the danger. Verse 66, "So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard." So a squad of soldiers on duty at the tomb, guarding it. Now we've got a soldier here. Here we are. Here's our Roman soldier. Let's put him up here, guarding the tomb. There we go. He's standing up straight. He's on guard duty. And what else did they tell them to do? As well as posting a soldier on the tomb, they said something else as well. What was the other thing? Put a seal on the stone. Yes, that's right. Now, in days gone by, they would put a seal on the back of an envelope like that. Why would they put a seal on that envelope? Not just so that it couldn't be opened, but so that if it was opened, you would know. It wasn't difficult to break the seal, but if it was opened, somebody would know. You would know that that envelope had been tampered with. Well, it's the same with the tomb. If somebody comes along and rolls the stone away, takes the body out, and then rolls the stone back, they will know. Okay, so for these 2 days, they've made the tomb as secure as they can. They posted a guard, and they put the seal on it. Nobody is going to be able to steal the body.
Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, 'Go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" The guards report. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met the elders and devised the plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will be satisfied. We will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And his story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
So as soon as they could, those two women go to look at the tomb, says Matthew. He's told us about the guard, so he knows that's all that they will be able to do. They'll just be able to go and look at the tomb. A sentimental visit, a rather hopeless visit to the tomb of their friend Jesus. How do you think they might have been feeling? How do you think these two women would be feeling as they go to visit the tomb? Sad, I think they would. Yes, there we are. Right, I've got some sad faces here. Let's just pop these on here. Here are our two women visiting the tomb, and they are very sad. They would be anyway, wouldn't they, visiting a grave? But especially these two women, because they'd had such high hopes. They thought that Jesus was God's king. But now he's dead and gone. He's been killed. But what does Matthew tell us has happened? He tells us, verse 2, he tells us three things. Three things that happened in verse 2 there. Yes, Isaac, tell me one of them. There was an earthquake, that's right. And we know actually from the records that the temple was damaged by an earthquake at that time. Okay, what else happened? Yes, what else happened, Enoch? That's right, an angel came, didn't he? A messenger from God came to see those two women. And what else? We've had the earthquake, we've had the visit of the angel, and that's right, the angel rolled the stone away, didn't you? The angel moved the stone. Not to let Jesus out, but to let people in. Let people in to see the empty tomb. And this angel is pretty scary to look at. We're told he's dazzling like lightning. And what happens to the soldiers? Verse 4. What happens to those soldiers? Anybody over here? What happens to the soldiers? Yes, thank you, Michelle. You want an egg as well? They were like dead men, weren't they? They were paralyzed. This soldier's already, he's already going that way, isn't he? Look, there we are. He's like a dead man. There we are. Let's put him like that. He's paralyzed with fear. So it's all changed for these soldiers, isn't it? They were on full alert. They were guarding the tomb. But now they're like dead men. But not only, they're not the only ones who are changed. Because the angel speaks to these two women. What's the first thing the angel said to the two women? What was the first thing that they said? Yes, come on, Hillary. Do not be afraid, that's right. Don't be afraid. That's right, that's the first thing that the angel said. And then the rest of verse 5, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. That's what they were expecting, weren't they? They had come to visit the grave of a dead man, a crucified man. No one was expecting a resurrection. Now, Jesus had repeatedly told them. He told them in chapter 16. He told them twice in chapter 17. He told them in chapter 20. He told them again in chapter 26. Even his opponents knew Jesus had said that he would rise. But no one was expecting it. You see, a resurrection was as inconceivable for them, as hard for them to believe, as it is for people today. They knew that, just as well as we do, that when you're dead, you're dead. They had just as much trouble believing in a resurrection as we do. Jesus had repeatedly told them, but it hadn't registered. Wasn't even in the realm of possibility. But here is this angel, this messenger from God, saying, verse 6, he is not here, he has risen, just as he said. These women, they're completely taken by surprise, aren't they, by this message. But Jesus wasn't. It was just what he said would happen. So it's all changed for Jesus, isn't it? He's gone from being a dead man hanging on a cross, his body put in a borrowed grave. Now he is alive. Now he is risen. And the angel backs up that claim with an invitation to look at the tomb. He's a bit like a heavenly estate agent, isn't he? Now, ladies, would you please like to come and visit this property? One empty tomb, recently vacated. Come and have a look round. It's good evidence, made all the more certain by that guard that had been put on the tomb for the last 2 days. The Pharisees, they put it there to prevent the rumor of resurrection. It ends up supporting the fact of the resurrection, that the body hadn't been stolen. Don't you just love it? It's brilliant, isn't it? The way God uses even his opponents. And what did the angel tell the women to do? What did the angel tell the women to do? Okay, thank you. Go quickly, in fact. Go quickly. This good news is for sharing. Go and tell the other disciples, and that he will see them in Galilee. That there would be a future meeting. And then the angel says, now I've told you. I've done my job. I've passed on the message. Jesus is risen. And that changes everything. It certainly changes things for these women, doesn't it? How are they feeling when they leave the tomb? Verse 8. Yes, that's right. Okay, so here we are. They're filled with joy. What a change. All change for these women, isn't it? They're afraid because of a scary angel, but they're filled with joy. They went to the tomb. They were sad. When they come away, they're filled with joy because now he is alive. All change for these women. And it gets even better. Look at verse 9. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. They're down on their knees, and they take hold of his feet. He's not a ghost. He's flesh and blood with a resurrection body. And they worshipped him. Now that he is risen, they know that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the Lord God. And they worshipped him. They surrendered their lives to him. They submit themselves to his rule. And that's what the resurrection tells us to do. To submit to this ruling, reigning king. And then Jesus repeats what the angel has said, doesn't he? Don't be afraid. Go and tell the others. We'll come back to that in a moment. But what did the guards do? What did the guards do? We got as far as verse 11. When they wake up, he recovers. What do they then do, the guards? Verse 11. Yes, they go and tell them everything that has happened, it says, doesn't it, verse 11? So he tells these chief priests about the angel, about the empty tomb, and about the message that Jesus is risen. And we might think that these chief priests would say, oh, we got it wrong all along. He is the Christ after all. But they don't. Sadly, there is no change for these priests. No change for them. For some people, no amount of evidence is ever enough. Instead, they come up with a plan, don't they? What's the plan they come up with? Verse 12. They bribed the guards, didn't they? They bribed the guards to say that the disciples stole the body while they were asleep. Now hang on a minute. If they were asleep, how were they supposed to know who had stolen the body? It falls down flat, doesn't it? It's hopeless. But for these chief priests, anything is better than facing the evidence. Because they might have to admit that Jesus is the Christ, that he lives and reigns forever. They might have to surrender their crowns to him. Instead, they hide behind this feeble lie. Still the same for some people today. If you're a bit of a skeptic this morning, and I'm glad you're here, will you dare to read this little Easter book that we're offering? Or will you carry on hiding? Let's come back to those words that Jesus said to the women that first Easter morning. Do not be afraid. Because in a sense, those are the words that Jesus says to all who worship him, all who welcome him as our rightful ruler. And if that's you, then he says to you, do not be afraid. You see, all has changed. When we submit to him as our king, his rescue becomes ours. We're spared from the punishment we deserve. We're brought into the family of God forever. And then his resurrection becomes our resurrection. This is what the Apostle Paul later wrote on Thessalonians. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him, those who've died trusting Jesus. And if that is so, then all of life is changed. Just think about this. Why do people find it hard to do the right thing, when, especially when it's going to cost them time or money or the goodwill of other people? Why do people find it hard to face death? Well, because they think that this world is the only one they'll ever have. That money is the only wealth they'll ever have. That this body is the only body they will ever have. But not if you are joined to a risen Jesus. Because then you know that this world, this body, this life is not the only one you will ever have. One day you will live in a perfect world with a perfect body. So who cares what people do to you now? You're free from the big worries of life. So you can be brave. You can be a risk taker for Jesus. No wonder he says, don't be afraid. Join to a risen Jesus. You can face even the worst of life with a joy and a hope that lasts forever. All of life is changed. And if that's the case, then it makes it the greatest day in history.